It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Happy Monday. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. And be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. All the podcasts of the shows are there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. And be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. I have an op-ed in there this week of Have We Lost Our Minds? And there's three great podcasts as well. So be sure and sign up for that because you get that hot off the press every Sunday. Big show planned for you today. We will be talking with the candidate for CU Regent, Priscilla Ron, in this first segment. Sue Moore with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado will be updating us what's happened down at the State House in the second segment. And then Helen Raleigh will be joining us. We'll be talking about our Salon Series event, which is next Monday night at Water's Edge Winery, the three punches to knock down democratic socialism. Go to my website to sign up for that. So big show planned for you today. How are you doing, Producer Steve?
I am present and I am functioning, and that's all I have to say about that.
Well, it's a Monday, and you are, you know, you actually, you get in here mighty early to make things work for everybody. And so you're, I think you're a bit humble sometimes when you have that response.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Just real quick, just take 20 seconds. You just mentioned email a while ago. How is your email traffic?
Good.
Is it robust?
It is robust, yes.
Okay, wonderful. I'm glad to hear that.
It's so robust that I still need to respond back to people.
Oh.
But I do love hearing from you, and yeah, important stuff. So, yes, good. Email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to Steve, our team, producer Steve, Keith, Zach, Charlie, and Patty for all your great work. And to each of you listeners, I'm very encouraged. We're so concerned about what's going on in this country. However, I'm very, very encouraged with people prepared to step up to the plate. And speaking of that, a couple of people that are stepping up to the plate are some new hosts on KLZ 560, and that is Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas. They have started I'm a Trumpster Radio. It's on Sunday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. Listened in yesterday. It was their inaugural show. It was really terrific. And they are, they've been in the black entertainment business for a long time. And when they realized that Donald Trump was serious about intellectual property rights, they said, he's our guy. And so they are dedicated to helping him get reelected. And one of the things that they're doing is they are bringing in a bus, and we need to wrap that. How do you explain that wrapping, Steve? We see it all the time, different businesses around cars, around train cars whatever.
The beauty of the English language sometimes its own detriment is words that sound alike but have totally different meanings and are spelled differently. It's not RAP, it's WARP. And we've all seen the light rail cars that don't look like the others. They're totally wrapped, and I'm air quotes here, with some particular advertiser's logo, whatever. And this is what we're going to do. This is what they want to do with the bus.
Okay, and the bus is here in Colorado. They bought it in New York, and it has arrived. And so we grassroots need to help them raise the $10,000 to wrap the bus. They have funded this whole I'm a Trumpster 98% with their own money. But we need to step forward and help them. And so would recommend if you can do $50, really whatever you can do, but for $50, you will get one of the battle masks, and we're going to have a kickoff with the bus. And if you can contribute more, do that. So how you do that is go to I'm a Trumpster, imatrumpster.com, contribute, and then email me over at kim@kimmunson.com to let me know so that I get you on the list for the celebration that we're going to have on that. Let's jump over to our quote for today. This is from C.S. Lewis, and he was a British writer, a lay theologian. He held academic positions in English literature at both Oxford University and Cambridge University. He is best known for his works of fiction, especially The Screwtape Letters, The Chronicles of Narnia, and The Space Trilogy, and for his nonfiction Christian apologetics, which that means defense of the Christian faith, such as Mere Christianity, Miracles, and The Problem of Pain. He was born in 1898. He died in 1963 at the age of 64. He said this, he said, of all tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. It would be better to live under robber barons than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep. His cupidity may at some point be satiated. But those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their own conscience. Steve, that is quite the quote there. We see that, I think, big time regarding, you know, hiding behind this coronavirus. Everybody has to wear masks, behind this this Black Lives Matter movement that is actually dividing us. And Patty connected a dot last Friday that we brought forward to you. And that is, if you go to Black Lives Matter, and I actually went to Black Lives Matter and contributed $5 so that I can see what's going on. But if you go to that, the clearinghouse is Act Blue, which is the big Democrat fundraising arm. And in fact, they have raised $5.2 billion since 2004 for Democrat candidates and progressive causes. So the idea that this is just a grassroots concern about, race relations in America, it's just not true. It is the Rahm Emanuel, and that we will never let a good crisis go to waste.
Boy, are they exercising this one.
Yeah, and, you know, Steve, we have these two different ideologies, and there is the ideology of creativity and innovation, and if, quote unquote, someone is privileged, then we want to aspire that all people can be, quote unquote, privileged. Instead of tearing people down, let's build people up. Right, Steve? I've got on the line with me a woman who does a lot of building up. She is she's running for CU Regent, but she also is an educator. Priscilla Ron, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
So you have been in the education business for a long time. You're a teacher. Why are you a teacher, Priscilla Ron?
You know, it's a passion of mine to build up and share my knowledge with young people and help them reach their potential and their dreams and build a better life. You know, it's just something that I am passionate about and feel like a calling to.
Well, and building up, really there's two things that can happen. You can either build up or you can tear down. And in our education system, you go back all the way to our founding is teaching our children well just builds them up. So you have stepped forward to run for CU Regent. Tell us a little bit about that, Priscilla Ron.
Yeah, I've been in education for 26 years as a National Board Certified Teacher and a former principal, and I did work at CCU in higher education. And I was seeing that there were a lot of decisions being made, some that we can impact locally and some decisions that were made federally and at the state level. And I felt like after 26 years, I wanted to make a bigger difference and have a bigger voice because, you know, we've seen a lot change in education in the last 26 years. And there's a lot of disappointments. And, you know, I heard your segment right before this talking about everything that's going on in America. And we really need to start paying attention to how we teach young people to think and how we teach them to interact with each other. And I felt like, you know, now is a great time for me to share my voice on a bigger level and make a bigger impact.
Now, Priscilla Ron, one of the questions, because you're running on the Republican ticket, and so people have probably received their ballot. And the way that works, if you're registered Republican, you get a Republican ballot. If you are registered Democrat, you get a Democrat ballot. And then I think if you're independent, you get both, but you can only vote one ballot. Is that right, Priscilla?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One of the things that probably needs to be addressed is you are a member of the teachers union. And, mm-hmm. you know, and the teachers union actually does play in a lot of races, in fact, contribute to a lot of Democrat candidates. So tell us about this. You're a Republican, you're a member of the teachers union. So explain that to us.
So actually, a third of teachers in the teachers union are actually Republicans. And but, you know, we know that the teachers union technically is nonpartisan, but because of those numbers, a lot of decisions that are made when we vote tend to lean more liberal. And so a lot of times we're outvoted when we want to share more conservative ideas. But, you know, like our chairman, Ken Buck, says, you know, he wants people to use their voices. You know, one of my favorite presidents, the president when I was in middle school that I sent my first letter to, was President Reagan. And President Reagan was a lifetime member of the AFL-CIO. And in 2017, he was inducted into the Labor Hall of Fame. Under Trump's administration, and I've met many, many Republicans, strong Republicans, who are members of their union. And so the concept of being in the union is an opportunity for us to use our voice. I'm a career educator, and I think it would be a shame for me not to be able to be involved in decisions that are made. It's kind of like when you sit in church, and if the only people you talk to are the people you go to church with, and you never shine your light outside, it's kind of pointless, right? So I don't think as Republicans we should have decisions made for us. I think it's an opportunity for us to use our voice to influence and shape decisions that are made. And I think now more than ever, it's important for parents and for educators to contribute to decisions in education.
Okay, for sure, because educating our children is so, so important. So Priscilla Ron, how can people get more information about you?
They can go to my website, which is Ron for CU Regent, and that's spelled RahnForCuRegent, or you can find me on Facebook at Ron for CU Regent.
Okay, well, Priscilla Ron, thank you so much, and thank you for stepping forward and throwing your hat in the ring. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Kim. Have a great day.
Okay, and before we go to break, let's talk a little bit about Hooters Restaurants. They are one of my valued partners, and they're now open. You can actually still deliver. You can go to order.hooters.com, but they are having dine-in as well. They have lunch specials Monday through Friday, 11 to 3. They have $8 items, $9 items, and $10 items. And kids eat free all day Saturday. They get a free kids meal with every adult entree purchase. And they're still honoring their kids eat free day every day for the to-go orders until further notice. So go to order.hooters.com for more information. And be sure and let them know that you know me. We're going to go to break. And we'll be right back with Sue Moore with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. That's check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. And just a quick note, as we're coming back from break, somebody sent me it's about a 3-minute video that President Trump put together regarding this whole race relations about uniting and healing. And apparently, Twitter and Instagram will not publish that. And, you know, that is very, very disappointing. But let's jump over here with Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado, Sue Moore. What's happening down at the State House?
Well, good morning, Kim. Yeah, there's still a lot happening down at the State House, and it's rather sad. I'm going to call this my talk today, the session that wouldn't sine die. And sine die is it's a Latin term, and it's what they call it when they finally wrap things up in a legislature. So, you know, we talked about last week about how things were winding down and we were hoping it would end last week. Well, not so fast. There were 20 new bills introduced since last Monday, 3 of which were just introduced on Saturday. So I've looked at the calendar. They've still got a full day of work today. I'm suspecting they'll go into tomorrow and possibly even longer this week, but we are keeping our fingers crossed that they will wrap things up. It just can't happen enough. So moving right along, we'll get into some of the new bills, the highlights. House Bill 1420, they call it the Tax Fairness Act, and we put fairness in air quotes. As it stands now, with a few exceptions, your Colorado taxable income is the very same as your federal taxable income. Now, under the CARES Act, the IRS is allowing more generous deductions and tax credits that were intended to help small businesses get back on their feet. The Tax Fairness Act would then disallow at the state level many of these, and it is in effect a tax increase on small businesses, including LLCs and C-Corps, and it would generate an additional $94 million in tax revenue to be used presumably for state education. But what it really does is free up money for other programs that the Democrats like. So, you know, it's something that they're rushing through at the very end of the session. It's really rotten, and it will impact a lot of people whose main source of income is an LLC. I have one for my rental property business. You probably have one for your radio show. A lot of folks have small businesses. Sometimes their second sources of income are essentially pass-throughs that they file on their personal income taxes. So, yeah, this is going to hurt a lot of really small businesses.
So just understand. So it's these politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties that shut down these small businesses during the coronavirus, Wuhan virus reaction disruption. And so businesses are struggling now. They're just trying to get open. And now the Colorado legislature wants to tax them more. Shouldn't this also, in essence, it's a tax increase. Shouldn't it be under the auspice of Tabor?
Well, you would think so, Kim, but no, the way it's structured is they're basically just kind of decoupling some of these tax incentives that are supposed to be helping small businesses, some federal tax breaks, but they're just kind of decoupling it and making people restate their income on the state level and throwing back in, you know, some of these things that they would have gotten credit for. It's a little bit complicated, but somehow it skirts Tabor. So
got it.
It's sad. Another sneaky bill that was introduced last week is Senate Bill 222, and it's called to use CARES Act money for small business grant program. Now, this one sounds really great. It sounds all warm and fuzzy. The federal government gave $20 million to the state to be distributed to small businesses who obviously need help at this time. So far, so good. The money would be managed by the Office of Economic Development and International Trade, and that's okay, too. Problem lies in the fine print. A quarter of the money is reserved for small businesses that operate a tourism or entertainment facility. The rest would be prioritized to go to businesses owned by veterans, women, and minorities, or who are in a rural area. So, you know, if you're a white male and you operate a business in an urban area that isn't in tourism and entertainment, you know, too bad, so sad. Oh, and you'll also get slammed by that Tax Fairness Act that we just talked about. So, you know, it's another example of government picking winners and losers. Mm-hmm. This bill is ripe for abuse, and so we obviously oppose that one as well.
Okay.
Senate concurrent resolution 001 repeal the property tax assessment rates. There's a lot of moving parts to this one. The measure submits a question to the voters on the November ballot that would repeal the Gallagher Amendment. So specifically, it repeals the 29% assessment rate on non-residential property and some other calculations. The Gallagher Amendment was passed in 82. It requires 45% of the state's property tax to be levied on homes and the other 55% on commercial properties. But since home values have risen over the years, the state's had to ratchet down the assessment rate to maintain that ratio. So it's hurt rural communities that rely more on residential property taxes for schools, and it's forced the state to in a situation where it now pays 65% of the cost of public education as opposed to the 35% that was in effect at the time. So, it's complicated. It's got a lot of moving parts, but it's basically an effort to shift the burden onto the localities and to free up general fund money. The state doesn't want to have to give as much as they are to local schools. They'd rather that the localities take care of that. So, you know, but at the end of the day, Kim, it really grows government and it hurts businesses. I read a comment from a member of the Libertarian Party that summed it up pretty nicely, I think. It says, if your personal property taxes go up, you see it in your statement and you feel it immediately. If business property taxes go up, they really just pass those costs on to the consumers in the form of higher prices. So you may not see it or feel it immediately, but you're going to feel it over time. And that's what this repeal of Gallagher would do. So bottom line is we oppose this bill. Unfortunately, it already passed on a 29-6 vote in the Senate and 47-18 in the House. So it's going to be on the November ballot. So we're going to be keeping an eye on that. Then after passing that bill, the same bipartisan group sponsored another one, Senate Bill 223, the assessment rate moratorium and conforming changes. So this would go into effect if Gallagher is repealed. And it basically freezes the assessment rates for both residential and commercial property at the current levels, and it can be done without a vote of the people. So we thought it kind of odd that they would run a bill that's conditional on another bill being passed, but that's just kind of the weird stuff that's going on right now down at the legislature. So, okay. And this bill also passed. If we still have some time,
we got a couple of minutes, Sue.
Okay, House Bill 1427, the cigarette, tobacco and nicotine product tax. This one comes as no surprise. It was really one of Polis's priorities for the session. It adds new taxes to cigarettes and tobacco products, and it also includes moist snuff, which is a tobacco product. It'll be on the ballot. It's conditional on voter approval, so it's going to raise a lot of money, $83 million in the next fiscal year and double that amount in following years. So that's a lot of money. And then before we run out of time, I did want to mention that this just came up last week. The Colorado Citizen Press, which is an online newspaper that covers politics in Colorado, they revealed that mega donors to the Hillary Clinton campaign has formed an independent expenditure committee whose purpose is to buy some of these little state house seats in Republican stronghold districts, especially in Colorado. So, and the reason this is really upsetting to us is because we have endorsed, the Republican Liberty Caucus has endorsed Brady Nunes, Justin Everett, and Doug Townsend. Doug's in the Senate district, but they're specifically targeting Grady's and Justin's races. Grady and Justin are rock-solid conservatives. So this dark Democrat money is actually pouring money into their opponents' races. They're buying TV ads, which is unheard of in these little house races. And they're slamming Grady and Justin. And what they really want to do is get these more liberal Republicans elected to these seats because they feel like they can control them. So it's really kind of an insidious thing that the Democrats are doing. It's dark money. It's ugly. They're running hit pieces with, you know, claims that really aren't true about these two candidates. So, you know, I just wanted to highlight that. So, you know, in particular, Grady Nunes and Justin Everett are under attack. So keep an eye on those races. Send those two candidates money if you can. We've got to be able to fight this and get those two really rock solid conservatives elected. So
I tell you, it seems like this Democrat machine is they play long ball. So it certainly is a strategy because if you can get wishy-washy Republicans in there, then it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really matter sometimes on some of these votes. So, okay.
Exactly right.
Yeah. So Sue Moore, how can people get all this information that you and your team put together?
Well, thanks for asking, Kim. It's all available on our website. It's rlcco.org, stands for Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado. And we'll be coming out with our Liberty Scorecard soon. It's where we've rated all the legislators. We've, you know, calculated their votes, how we feel about their votes. We've compared them to our positions. And so that Liberty Scorecard is going to come out soon. The final results may be of interest to you. So you can see how it's going at rlcco.org. All the information is there. And, yeah, we'll go from there. Fingers crossed they wind things up this week.
Oh, my gosh, for sure. So, hey, Sue Moore, thank you so much for keeping us informed. And, again, that is rlcco.org, rlcco.org. We'll talk to you next Monday, Sue.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Kim.
Okay. Jason McBride, it is a Monday morning. How are you, Jason McBride, with Presidential Wealth Management?
Well, I'm awake and ready to go, Kim.
I'm glad to hear that you've had your coffee, and that's a good thing. So what's going on in the markets right now? I when I got up this morning, I saw a breaking headline that the markets might get hit today because of possible new concerns about the coronavirus. So what's the futures look like this morning?
Yeah, that seems to be what they're talking about again. The futures are down about 500 this morning, which would wipe out the bounce that we got on Friday after the beating that we took on Thursday. But they said there's like 57 new cases being reported in China. I mean, I think that's ridiculous. Anybody that believes they haven't had more cases than that on a daily basis, I think is just wanting to be fooled. And, of course, Kim, we're getting a little bit of an increase in cases, you know, in states that opened up. But that's also because we're doing a lot more testing than we were. My question is, when did these riots start? When was that, about 10 days ago? So we should get a big spike in those places in about 2 weeks, assuming the Democratic governors and mayors haven't just stopped testing altogether to prevent that spike from occurring.
Right. So we should start to see probably, quote unquote, a spike within the next few days on that. But, you know, it's so interesting that, I mean, we really need to break this down. And I had written an op-ed that's on the website about all these masks. I had the craziest thing happen. This is, a lot of this is not about keeping people, quote unquote, safe. It's about power. So I went into a favorite little place that I like to get a bakery in Denver. The other day. Now, you can now dine in, which if you are going to drink coffee and eat a pastry, you can't do that with a mask on, Jason.
So it's pretty hard. Yeah.
It's very difficult. So people are there, sitting there, they're eating their food, they're drinking, and I walk in, and somebody behind the counter says, do you have a mask? And I said, no. And they said, here, we'll give you one. I said, well, I'm not going to put it on. And I'd already ordered my food. I had my drink and everything. And the person behind the counter said, well, then, you know, you have to wear a mask. I said, I'm not going to. And I turned around and I walked out and I thought, this is all about power. And what has happened is Polis and company have said to these businesses that you need to be our mask police, if you will. And if you are not our mask police, then we may think about pulling your business license. After they've shut these businesses down for 8 weeks, there's something really wrong about that, Jason McBride.
No, I agree with you. And again, I don't know how you eat and drink with a mask on. So if a business wants to play both sides of it, I know they're in a tough spot too.
They are.
Yeah, if other people are there without a mask and they're eating and drinking, I don't know why they had to pick on you. Now, me, Kim, I would know they just wanted me to cover half my face for more beauty purposes. But
is that what it is?
Not the case with you, because you're a pretty gal.
Oh, well, thank you. So,
I'm probably in big trouble now.
Oh, you are. You're in big trouble now, for sure. So, but if you, you know, I think it's important that people sit down, take a look at their risk tolerance, take a look at their asset allocation, you know, make sure that they have a plan, because it is going to be volatile here. Reach out to you, Jason, and your colleagues there at Presidential Wealth Management.
Well, yeah, and again, we've still, even with the down that we had last Thursday, and we're going to get a little bit more today, if you really look at it, we're not that far off of the highs that we hit, or even the all-time highs in some cases. And again, I know sometimes it's easy, Kim, to get stuck in this mentality, oh, if I would have just sold a few days ago, I would have had this much more. But in reality, why would you have? I mean, there's nothing but getting lucky that would have made you sell anything on the day things hit the absolute high. And I'm not advocating people should be selling or buying or whatever they're doing. But again, if you were losing sleep when we were in the throes of the worst of this correction and feeling like you just can't take these kind of downdrafts anymore, you know, I still think there's a decent opportunity. If you wanted to make some changes, now is not a bad time. It might not be the perfect time like it was a few days ago, but it's still not a bad time. And remember, nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect. So be sure and reach out to Jason McBride and his colleagues there at Presidential Wealth Management. That phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600, or go to airpresidential.com. Jason, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
Thank you. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Helen Raleigh regarding this Salon Series event that we'll be doing next Monday night, The Three Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism, as well as this piece that she has done in the Federalist about UCLA students are demanding two professors be fired for doing their job. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. The podcast of the shows can be found there, as well as the recaps, all of our new podcasts, Sounding Off with Kim Munson. And thrilled to have on the line with me Helen Raleigh. She is a senior contributor to The Federalist. She's an immigrant from China, and she is the owner of Red Meadow Advisors, a Colorado-registered investment advisory firm, and an immigration policy fellow at the Centennial Institute in Colorado. She is the author of several books, including Confucius Never Said, The Broken Welcome Mat, and her writings have also appeared in the Wall Street Journal, the Denver Post, and townhall.com. You can follow Helen at H. Raleigh Speaks or check out her website. Helen Raleigh, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you doing?
I am good. And you on this Monday morning?
It's a beautiful morning. Thank you.
It is. So a couple of things. First of all, we are doing an event together this next Monday night, the 22nd of June, with Dr. Paul Prentice as well, The Three Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism. And you and Paul reached out and said, why don't we do this event together? And so for all of we were going to do it back in February. So we have people that have purchased the tickets from back in February that they have their seat already reserved. And ticket sales are very brisk. And I think that we'll sell out. So I would recommend that people go ahead to go to my website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, to purchase their tickets. But tell us, what is the brainchild of the three punches to knock down democratic socialism, Helen Raleigh?
Well, thank you for asking. So this, we had the similar event last year at the Western Conservative Summit. Paul and I teamed together because we look at the other side. We look at the trend of where the country is going. The socialism, something we saw that we defeated back in 1989, has become popular again. Not only it has become popular again, it's from a fringe idea now become a mainstream. And then we look at the other who's out there promoting socialism. You look at AOC, somebody's young and cute. And then you look at the Senator Bernie Sanders, somebody seems old and wise. So Paul and I teamed together. I said, you know, Paul, I said that you can be the young and cute one. Let's team up. Let's talk about how should we address this rising of socialism. And we recognize that when the other side promote socialism, they never really tell the truth. You know, they give you a rosy picture of, you know, we just want the Switzerland, or we just want to care. We want to make sure everybody's taken care of, you know. So Paul and I talk about how should we address that? How do we talk about it in an intelligent and a compassionate way? We want to give people some tools in their toolbox so they can talk about this with their families, especially their young kids, you know, 18 to 25. Have some tool in their toolbox so they can talk about this, why capitalism is good, why socialism is evil, in a very intelligent as well as compassionate way.
Well, and when you gave this workshop at the Western Conservative Summit, it was standing room only. So this is a very cool opportunity. It's going to be great to be over at Water's Edge Winery next Monday night and just talk about these important ideas. And so this is a tremendous opportunity for people because both you and Paul are really deep thinkers. You really, you know, get your brains around these issues. And it is so important, Helen, because we've kicked the tires on socialism with this COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, with empty shelves, with government picking winners and losers, moving us to the elite and the non-elite, or as they call it, the essential and non-essential. And these politicians and bureaucrats, they haven't lost a dime in salary or pension benefits. While we have our businesses that are struggling, we've kicked the tires on this, and it doesn't look pretty, Helen.
It does not. And it's also related to the next subject that we're going to talk to. And we can see the reason we are experiencing all this it was a buildup from the cultural war, too. The cultural war laid the foundation, and now Kim, to me, it's all deja vu. It's from canceling professors to canceling books, now to toppling statues, and next they want to have this autonomous zones, and every, you know, burning the books, maybe the next one. So on the one level, the left has no imagination. Everything they're doing right now are things we have seen before. So this workshop is not just about giving people tools, but we need to have awareness. Then we need to decide what are the course of actions we have to take, because we already see the straight line from cultural war to straight violence. So there's a straight line there, and we're already there. So we need to be aware, how did we get there, and what do we need to do to push back?
Well, you grew up in China, and your story is so interesting that you had a name that could have been either a boy or a girl. And the government would determine, well, you tell the story. It's your story. You tell that a little bit better than I do, Helen.
Well, I've been telling that story many times. It's also in my book, Confucius Never Said. So I was born, when I was born, my dad gave me a name that, it's a very popular boy's name. But it also, you know, girls can use it, has really good meanings. And so back then, China had a food rationing system. Again, under socialism, everything's redistributed based on according to the government. And so based on the food rationing system, a girl would receive about a 4 more pounds of rice less than a boy. And because my name was a boy's name, the government distributed to, you know, my household. For my portion, they gave me the boy's portion for a while. And then one day, you know, a local police came to our house just for random checkup. Back then in China, they could do this anytime without a warrant. They just want to make sure everybody in the house people are supposed to be in the house. Anyway, so he recognized the government made a mistake when he came over. And, you know, I'm a girl, and I've been getting the food ration for a boy. So he demanded our entire family to pay the government back with the food stamps that, you know, we received. Everybody back then received food stamps because that's how you get rations. Because there was not enough food, so they issue your food stamp. They tell you only how much food you could buy each month based on your gender and age. And that, there are two things. One thing is, even with the boys' food ration, I was still hungry all the time. And I dream about the food all the time. And the second thing is, that event had a tremendous impact in my young heart. Because, just some awakening, you know, on a very rudimentary level. I kept asking myself, you know, why can't I decide how much I could eat? You know, I'm hungry all the time. You know, why can't I decide how much, you know, I can eat? I mean, back then I didn't have all this lofty idea about inalienable rights, this and that. It's just something very fundamental, very basic, you know, in my survival mode. You know, I ask myself, why don't I get to decide how much I can eat as a person? And you would not believe this, but years later, I met somebody from Venezuela at the Steamboat Institute conference. And when I shared this story with him, he finished my story for me because he had a similar experience. Because Venezuela is, you know, has socialism too. So there's, for people who say, well, this time we're going to do it better. This time we're going to do it differently. Or they did it wrong. There's a better version. There's no better version. Every socialism has ever been practiced, imposed upon people. They're all the same. They all started with lofty promises, end up with misery.
And that is the thing that is about socialism is you have the haves, the have-nots, the elites, and everybody else. And instead of building people up, what happens is they tear people down so that everybody is equal in their misery. And, you know, we really see two ideologies. I was talking about it early on. When Priscilla Ron, before she came on, is we have two different ideologies. And that is do we want to build people up or do we want to tear people down? If there, in fact, is, quote unquote, white privilege, then would we not want to bring everybody up to privilege instead of tearing everybody down? What's your thoughts on that, Helen Raleigh?
I agree with you that the socialism is always about the destruction. And the socialism is probably the leftist, far left radical idea. So that's what we see here happening in our country. The far radical far left is all about destruction. They have no ability to create anything, and they don't want to. And if you look at what happened to the Seattle, the autonomous zone, all they do was destruct. All they have done so far was destruction. They can't even grow vegetable in their own so-called communal garden. You know, they demand, they say they're autonomous, but they demand the outside world, the capitalist country that they left behind to provide them, you know, everything they need, including food. They want a donation. So capitalism, on the other hand, is always about creativity and, you know, productivity, produce and create something. So if you put three capitalist, freedom-loving people in a room, they're going to build an enterprise. If you put three socialists in a room, they're going to destroy the room.
And on that is why you will want to join us next Monday night, June 22nd, Water's Edge Winery. Go to my website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com to purchase your tickets. The tickets are $20. There's a processing fee. And then when you get over there, you can order your food and drink and you just pay for that. It's a model that has worked really beautifully. So go to my website, KimMunson.com, to sign up for the three punches to knock down democratic socialism with Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice. Now, Helen, let's go to break. When we come back, you have written a powerful piece in The Federalist about these UCLA students that are demanding two professors be fired. It's a fascinating story. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Helen Raleigh.
Predovich and Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich and Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, KimMunson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Go over to Facebook and give us a like and sign up for our weekly newsletter. On the line with me is Helen Raleigh. She is a contributor to The Federalist. She immigrated from China, and she's an author. She's written Confucius Never Said, The Broken Welcome Mat. Her writings have appeared in many of the major publications here in the United States. An amazing story, but her most recent piece in The Federalist is about these UCLA students that are demanding two professors be fired for doing their job. And Helen Raleigh, I think that there is nothing more racist than the bigotry of low expectations. And that's what I saw from this piece. Take our listeners through this, Helen.
Right. So there are two professors. The first one, Professor Gordon Klein, his accounting professor at UCLA. So this happened recently. A non-black student emailed Professor Klein, basically said, you know, in light of George Floyd's tragic death, every student is stressed out, struggling to, you know, go to protest. They can't possibly focus on their study. And this student's asking that to show support for black students in a class. This student asked Professor Klein to basically create something called a no-fail final exam, basically give black students only a kind of final exam, there's no chance they will fail. Like they all will guarantee they will all pass. And so Professor Klein basically wrote an email asking them back, you know, because, you know, he asked a bunch of questions to say, you know, how do we know which student in the class is black? Because we have online classes. And the most, you know, I know this from my niece's experience. Most young people, when they take online classes, they do not turn on their camera, because they may just as well take a nap where they're showing up on online classes. So you don't know, right? So the professor kind of said, you know, do you know who's black? How I identify them? And he asked some good questions. You know, if you ask me to give special treatment to black students, what about the mixed race students? Let's say a student has, you know, is half black, half Asian. Do I just give the students half the passing grade? So he asked some really good questions. And in the end, he quoted Martin Luther King, say, you know, what about this Martin Luther King said we should not judge people by the skin of their color. Oh, my goodness. After this email, his class has a meltdown. They call him racist. They said that his email response is, you know, rude, and it just makes them feel unsafe. So they created a change.org petition, which got 20,000 signatures, to demand his firing. And now Professor Klein is on leave, and the UCLA accounting department apologized to the student. So that's the first story. You want me to go on to the second story?
Yes.
Okay. The second professor, this is even more ridiculous. So the second professor is Ajax Paris. Ajax Paris is a retired Air Force veteran. And he teaches a class that's called the History of Racial Discrimination in America. So it's a very liberal, it's a very liberal class. And Professor Paris, in this history about racial discrimination in America, so in this particular class, he read the letter from Martin Luther King's famous letter from Birmingham Jail, which is, from literature standpoint, is a very well-written piece of literature. But most importantly, from the civil rights history standpoint, it's probably one of the most important documents of civil rights history. This is a letter. I encourage everybody to read it. Dr. Martin Luther King gave his thought process about how did he become the advocate for nonviolent, protest and civil rights movement. Anyway, it's a very well written document, and of course, this letter was written in 1960s, so it's including the N word. When Professor Paris read this letter out loud to his class, word by word of the letter, his students didn't want him to read the N word because he's white. And he said, well, this is part of the document. If I'm going to read it, I'm going to be honest to history. And also, as a part of this class, he showed a historical document to teach students about the cruelty and injustice that African American used to have to endure at the Jim Crow era, and that including lynching. And so both the image of lynching as well as Professor Paris read Dr. King's letter that including the N-word caused another meltdown. Again, students are demanding that he's been fired, and because he's white, he cannot possibly read the N-word and not being protective to students' feelings. And UCLA's, his class professors of the management apologized. Again, he was put on leave. We do not know if he's fired or not. So this is what's happening at one of the best schools in America.
There is a correlation between the Cultural Revolution in China and what is happening now. The shutting down of voices and the destruction of property. And, I guess it was with Pol Pot they actually, with people that had glasses, meaning that they probably, studied and they read, that if you wore glasses, you were killed. And I think that was under Pol Pot in Cambodia. This whole cultural revolution, not wanting to learn about the tough stuff, nothing good can come of this, Helen Raleigh.
No, and yeah, in the Professor Paris's class, it's a class about racial discrimination in America. So when the students and Professor Paris is actually a liberal, he's one of the traditional liberal. He's not a radical, but he's a liberal. So how could you, when students sign up a class like this? How could you, you don't think you don't expect to learn about the ugly history, about the suffering of African Americans in the past? You expect everything just going to be a walk in the park? Don't you think that kind of expectation by itself is an undermine of African Americans' struggle, undermine their history and their suffering, and show disrespect to what they've been through? And how could they turn around and go protest on the street, demand racial justice when they don't even want to learn? How did we get here? What racial injustice that African American experienced? And then they judge him by his color of his skin, that because he's white, he cannot possibly read Dr. King's letter word by word. Now we're going to cancel Dr. King now?
But you know what this whole thing is about in is just putting people into groups. And, you know, we've seen this, it's been moving towards that. You're not defined by your individuality. You're defined by this group, you know, and it could be color of skin. It could be gender. It could be gender prep, you know, whatever it is. And that is what is so dangerous, because if you start to look at people as a group, then no longer as an individual, then you see, like with the riots, you're looking at things as a group, then, you know, people just go out and they just destroy. Well, actually, they don't look at people as groups when they're doing the destruction. They go across the spectrum. It could be white business owners. It could be black business owners, Hispanic, gay, whatever. There, in that, there's actual equality. That's about the only place that I'm seeing equality on this leftist agenda. We've got about a minute left. Helen Raleigh, what's your final comments that you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, I think we... people in the center or and on the right, center right and independent, we should not look at what's happening on our college campuses just being dismissive. So, oh, it's just so absurd. It will pass. It's not going to pass. Look at what happened in New York Times, that the editors got fired for publishing Senator Tom Cotton's op-ed because the New York Times staff do not feel safe with words. So now we live in an environment that the words are violent, words make people unsafe, but the violent protests actually are okay. So those campus warriors that our campus trained now are in the workforce, and they are taking whatever they practice in the campus, they are bringing into corporate America. And corporate America basically are bending their knees, you know, to bend over backwards to accept and continue this trend. So we need to realize what's going on and don't be dismissive. And we really need to think about how do we push back this dangerous trend? Because, like I said, from campus cultural revolution to straight violence to corporate intimidation, it's all straight line from there.
So sign up for 3 punches to knock down democratic socialism. Helen Raleigh, thank you so much. You have a great day. And today, our quote is C.S. Lewis, "Education without values, as useful as it is, seems rather to make a man a more clever devil." So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. And my friends, God bless you, and God bless America. But